I'd like to come in a moment to Isaiah 49 and verse 15. By way of introduction, I'd like to say I don't know what it's like in your house with regard to incoming mail, but in our house we differ greatly in our response. I am usually in no hurry to see what has arrived. Bills, I pay them. Forms that are to be filled in and completed and to which I'm almost allergic, I have to deal with them. Appeals, appeal after appeal for things that sound worthy. Sometimes three or four appeals a day. Running up to Christmas last year, we had 50 appeals from various organizations. If you make a donation to some charities, they pass your name on to other charities and you can be inundated with appeals. So I'm not in a hurry to see what post arrives. Muriel, on the other hand, loves to see what letters or what mail there is. And I was interested when this particular missile arrived. I noticed, first of all, that the stamp hadn't been franked, and that causes problems for a Yorkshireman. But then I noticed that one of the numbers in the postcode was incorrect. When Muriel saw it, she knew immediately from the handwriting who it was from. When we receive letters or cards like this, sometimes one reads it to the other, or we read it separately and comment on it together later. What struck me on this occasion was what was said inside. Not the picture on the outside, but what was said inside. Trust you are rejoicing in the Lord and the beauty of the earth. And we could both say that we were. Please be assured you are never forgotten and are much in our thoughts and prayers. And it was particularly the words, please be assured that you are never forgotten. Our immediate reaction was one of thankfulness to the writer. But then the activities of the day crowded in, and other than think of it time to time during the day, it had no further impact until I was reading my Bible and seeking to turn to prayer lists the next morning, that I was enveloped and stirred and almost overwhelmed by these words. Please be assured, you are never forgotten. And passages of scripture and hymns began to come to my mind, together with a number of questions. What had prompted the writer not merely to say, you are never forgotten, or even be assured you are never forgotten, but to write, please be assured you are never forgotten? Couldn't think of what might have prompted the writer. Felt sure of who had prompted the writer. Did the writer think I was feeling forgotten? Though it's not a word I would have used of myself. Was it really a reflection of what the writer was feeling? Was the writer feeling forgotten? Other questions followed, like, am I forgotten? Are others forgotten? Have you felt forgotten? Do you feel that you're forgotten? In a society where we're told loneliness is an increasing problem, who are those who are feeling forgotten? My mind was already racing ahead to the Bible and to Isaiah 49 and verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. I was so moved by this that I read on. See, I have engraved you or inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. I turned to a concordance, and the concordance revealed that there are some 60 verses using the word forgot in various forms, and another 40 odd verses using the word forgotten. And as I read all of them, six or seven subheadings came to mind. But don't be alarmed, I only want to focus on three groups. I want to think together with you tonight of three groups of people. Those who forget God. Those who forget God. Those who think God has forgotten them. And finally, and gloriously, those whom God has not forgotten. I wonder which group you're in. I'd like you to ask yourself honestly in your own heart. Are you among those who've forgotten God? Are you among those who think God has forgotten you? Are you in group one or in group two or both groups? Or are you by the mercy of God in group three? Do you know that God hasn't forgotten you? Before I had focused on these three groups, I'd been so occupied by this thought that had come in this card to us that I'd spoken to some friends about being forgotten. And one said to me, well, it's worth developing. And after we left them, they wrote to us. And the verse heading their card was Isaiah 44, verse 21. I will not forget you. So can I ask you at this point if you remember nothing more? There are people of whom God, Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth and all things in it, there are those of whom God has said, I will never forget you. You know, don't you, and I know how wonderful it is when people assure us, I'll be thinking of you, I'll remember you, I won't forget you. But this is Almighty God. And you might be thinking, oh, but surely, Neville, there's nobody here who forgets God or who thinks God has forgotten them. So you can concentrate on group three and we'll have a short sermon tonight. There's a problem. The Bible, which is written for our instruction and learning, has a great deal to say about those who forget God. Moreover, some of us lived or have lived or are living years without God. Or we may have thought about him at times, at funerals, at weddings, the birth of a child, Christmas, Easter, Sundays, but much of the time God has not been in our thoughts. And how many of us can say, hand on heart, there has never been a moment, well, an hour, well, a day, or a week, or a month, when I forgot God? There are reasons why we should pause and consider the phrase, those who forgot God, or forget God. First of all, if we belong to him, if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we should be very thankful from what we have been saved. Because there was a time when whatever we were by nature, we were without God and without hope and without Christ. And if in His mercy He has caused us to know Him, so we no longer are in the group of those who forget God, our lives ought to be one of thankfulness and praise. We ought to count our blessing. But then it ought to cause us to think afresh about the destiny of those who forget God. In Luke chapter 16, there is a story told of a very rich man who fared sumptuously every day. He was very, very wealthy. And at his gate, there was a poor man who just longed for the crumbs from the rich man's table. Nobody took any notice of him. And the dogs licked his sores. And then we're told this, that Lazarus died. She's the poor man. Lazarus died. And he was carried into Abraham's bosom. That's a figure for being carried into heaven, into the presence of God. And the rich man died. That's all we're told about him. He just died. That's it. Finished. End. And he went to hell. And there in a place of torment, he looked up and he saw Lazarus. In Abraham's bosom, that's in the presence of God the Father. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, send him to dip his finger in water to cool the fever of my brown lips." And Abraham said, "You had your good things in lifetime and Lazarus hadn't." It isn't just because he was rich and Lazarus was poor. It's because in his wealth he forgot God. And Lazarus depended upon God. And he said, "Well, I've got a lot of brothers. Send Lazarus to tell them so that they don't come to this place of torment." And he had to say, there's a great gulf fixed so that he can't come to you and you can't come to him. And as for your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. Oh, but he said, if somebody was to rise from the dead, they'd believe in him. And it's my responsibility to tell you tonight that if you're not going to heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But if tonight you are here without a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may come to know Him, whom to know is eternal life. We ought to realize afresh the destiny of those who forget God. And it ought to reinvigorate our prayers and our concern for those who forget God. Just in case you think this is what I'm thinking, there are warnings against forgetting God, and there are declarations concerning those who forget God. Let me read some of them to you. Isaiah 17. "You have forgotten God your Savior. You have not remembered the rock, your fortress. Therefore, though you set out the finest plants and plant imported vines, though on the day you set them out, you make them grow, and on the morning when you plant them, you bring them to bud, yet the harvest will be as nothing in the day of disease and incurable pain." In other words, doesn't matter what you do, if you forget God, there are serious consequences. Does a maiden forget her jewelry? A bride her wedding ornaments? "Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Can you believe that? Do you forget your loved ones? You ask a mother who is most often in her thoughts, the one who is well and at home and has got no cares in the world, or the one who is away from home and in all sorts of trouble. And the mother will tell you that her thoughts are with the one who is far from home. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, told the story of a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one strayed off, and he put the 99 in a place of safety and went to look for the other one. And it may be that he's looking for you tonight, and that you are here, though you didn't know it, to meet with the Savior. I will scatter you like chaff driven by the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion I have decreed for you, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in false gods. Is God our first resort or our last? We should be grateful for family and friends and doctors and specialists that can help us. But what about God, the one who created us and gave his Son to be our Savior? This is what the Lord says according to Jeremiah. Inquire among the nations, who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by Virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Does its cool waters from distant sources ever cease to flow? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their way and in the ancient paths. Their land will be laid waste, an object of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. Ezekiel, the same emphasis. You have forgotten me, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will surely strike my hands together at the unjust gain you have made and at the blood you have shed in your midst. Will your courage endure or your hand be strong in the day I deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Since you have forgotten me and thrust me behind your back, you must bear the consequences. That's what God has said of those who have forgotten him. You say, ah, yes, but that's all Old Testament. Yes, it is. But the New Testament goes further. Jesus, speaking to a very good man and a very religious man, said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again of water and of the Spirit. Whoever believes in him, that's the Lord Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. If stand condemned is true of those who do not believe, however outwardly nice and kind and polite and religious they are, as no doubt Nicodemus was, how much worse for those who forget God? The Bible has a great deal to say about those who forget God. What about those who think God has forgotten them, has forgotten you? Psalm 10 was rather solemn and sobering reading, wasn't it? But the psalmist was very honest and poured out his heart about how he felt and what he thought. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And then the sinner, he says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. The psalmist responds to that. He says, "Arise, O Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless." Have you ever asked him to help you? Do you know the hymn, "Abide with Me," sung at football matches and the like, so that perhaps Christians think because it's a popular hymn, we don't need to sing it? There is a phrase in there, "Help of the helpless. Oh, abide with me." It may be old fashioned, but it's one of the hymns that I love and cherish and often comes to my mind. Help of the helpless. Abide with me. Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Have you ever felt that? Have you ever dared to say to God, "Why are you afar off?" Have you ever dared to say to God, "Why have you forgotten me? How long will you hide your face from me?" I say to God, my rock, "Why have you forgotten me?" We're so polite, aren't we? We're so superficial. We're so politically correct. "Oh, I wouldn't dare say a thing like that to God." Why not? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're in your heart. And if you think that he's forgotten, he knows. Why don't you tell him? Why don't you ask him? "I am forgotten, as though I were dead. I become like broken pottery. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" Strange, isn't it, how some things stay with you. Verses of scripture stay with you year after year and decade after decade. When I was a student, we used to meet together with our tutors for a Bible study. And we used to sit in a circle and the tutor would open up a passage. And we were looking together at Psalm 119. And in there is a phrase, "I am forgotten like a bottle in the smoke." What on earth does that mean? Well, it means simply this, that when a wineskin was empty, what do you do with it? Well, you don't throw it away and you don't put it in the recycling bin because it might be useful sometime. How many things have you got in your attic that you think might be useful sometime? And they've been there since your children left home, and some of them since your grandchildren left home. Anyway, what they used to do, apparently, with these wineskins was to throw them up into the rafters. And the fire and the smoke dried them out and blackened them so that they were useless. If you tried to put new wine in them, they would have immediately split and the wine would have been spilt and wasted. And here is a man who, thinking about his circumstances and conditions, says, "I am like a bottle in the smoke." Have you ever felt like that? I was brought up in a village where we all went to the parish church. We all were in the choir, whether we could sing or not. And we got a penny each service, so it was quite a thing to be in the church choir. And then we were confirmed. When I was at school for 8 years in York, I went to York Minster every Sunday morning of term time, but I didn't know anything about God or about the Lord Jesus. And when I was confronted by the truths of the gospel and by the fact of Jesus Christ and him crucified, I spent weeks and months searching the scriptures, going to every meeting I could, talking to people. You see, I was like a bottle in the smoke. And God in His mercy met me and made me live again and brought me new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we say all these comments have been the psalmist, yes, but do remember how the psalms mirror our condition and our need, be it in joy or in sorrow, in praise or petition. How many of us can say we've never been tempted to ask, "Has the Lord forgotten?" The word "forgotten" is not found in Hebrews 12 and verse 5 with reference to believers, but the implication is that the trials and the experience of God's people caused some to wonder if God had forgotten. "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Years ago, if my son had been fighting with another boy, I would have tried to separate them and I would have sent the other boy home. And then I would have dealt with my son. Why? Because he was my son. I wasn't in relationship with the other boy, but I had a relationship with my son, and so I would deal with him in love. And God in His mercy has a relationship with all who will come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does not forget them. What a comfort and what a joy it is to come to this third group. Those whom God has not forgotten. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the conditions, whatever the feelings. And we begin with Isaiah 44 and verses 21 through to 23. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Remember these things, the Lord says to His people. I have made you. You are my servant. I will not forget you. I've swept away your offenses. I have redeemed you. And then in Isaiah 49, can the seemingly impossible, the unnatural happen? Sadly, it may. And it does happen. Though it may happen in natural and human relationships, that a mother abandons her child, God has said, "I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." The same truth is found in Psalm 27. "Though my father and mother forsake me, yet the Lord will receive me." Do you know that? Do you know that when you don't understand what is happening? Do you know that when things are difficult for you? Do you know that when others forget you, that He will not forget you? In the New Testament, Luke 12, "Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Do not be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. The scripture tells us that of all that the Father has given to the Son, not one will be lost, save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Jesus came to the disciples after he was raised from the dead and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The writer to the Hebrews recalls what was said early in God's word, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." In a moment we're going to sing a hymn that begins, "Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour. Hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Mine is an unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death." Do you know that? Do you really know that God made you? You're not fooled by these theories of evolution. We are God's creation, made in his image and likeness. Do you know that God has swept away your offenses in and through the death of his Son? All our offenses he laid upon Jesus on the cross, and he bore the punishment for our sin. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He died that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Do you know that? Do you believe it? Is it the guidance of your life? Do you know that God has redeemed you, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus? If you do not know it, you may. If you are not as sure about these things as you once were, you may be assured again. How can I say such a thing? The Bible tells us that God will restore the backslider. The Bible tells us that God will heal the brokenhearted. He has not forgotten those who belong to him. If you have simply, in repentance of your sin, come to Jesus and in faith asked him to forgive you, God will never forget you. You may feel forgotten. God has, in a variety of ways, declared that he will not forget his own. The message from a friend meant a great deal to Muriel and I. "Please be assured that you are not forgotten," meant a great deal to us, but I can tell you this, it didn't mean and doesn't mean as much as it does to know that God has said, "I will not forget you." Do you know that? Are you living in the light of that, and in the strength of that, and in the hope of that, and in the peace of that, and in the encouragement of that? God will not forget you if you come to him through Jesus Christ.